عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله, most likely the Eid is going to be on Friday. إن شاء الله, we will issue a statement on Thursday. Many of you will be able to see the moon on Thursday night, إن شاء الله. And therefore, the takbirat begins here at 7:15, and the prayers at 7:30, إن شاء الله, in the morning. So those of you who have work, they can go back to work, inshallah. Zakatul Fitra is $15 per person. You pay the zakat before the prayers. And the greetings that we do for Eid, not before the prayers. Leave it until after the prayers. Please, you know. So let's, you know, come here. We sit, we just say salamu alaykum, we do the takbirat. The hugs, that the warm hugs that you do, inshallah, will be after the Salatul Eid. After Salatul Eid, we will greet each other, inshallah ta'ala. And then we have Friday prayers too. Friday prayers is established on the day of Eid. However, those who live out of town, those who come from long distances from out of town, they are exempted from the Friday prayers on the day of Eid. If they are present at the Eid prayers, they don't have to go back home and then come back again to the mosque for the Friday prayers. Only those who live out of town. But those who are in town, many of you are here in Irvine and the surroundings, then inshallah you will come back for the Jumu'ah prayers too. And there is a difference between kafara and fidya. Many people ask me, what is the difference between kafara and fidya? Fidya is given by a person who cannot fast in Ramadan, whether the whole month or one day or 2 days, for some medical reasons. Neither that person can make up the fast after Ramadan. So if this is the case, this person cannot fast in Ramadan or outside Ramadan, then that person should pay the fidya. Fidya, ransom. Fidya means ransom. Fidyatun ta'amu miskin, which is 750 gram. It's less than 1 kilo. 750 gram of food. The food should be original food, like rice, like bread, dates, things like that. Not ice cream. Ice cream is not food, you know. So 750 gram for every day. Those who have ailment, they cannot fast. You know, those who are elderly, for any reason, if someone cannot fast. But then if he can fast after Ramadan, then definitely he should make up that days that he missed. Kafara is a penalty, not ransom. Kafara means penalty for those who broke their fast on purpose. They were not traveling, they were not sick, they had no problem, but they did not want to fast. Let's say they didn't fast the whole month or one day. Then they have to pay penalty, kafara. Kafara is again 750 gram, but they have to pay 60 kafara per day. Whereas the fidya is one fidya. You pay only one 750 gram, which is $2, let's say $3. But the kafara, 700 plus 60 people. So you make the math. How much does it cost? I don't know. 120 times 750 grams times 60 people. Times 60 people per day. If you break your fast on purpose, amdan, on purpose, then you have to feed 60 people. Each one at least 750 gram of food. So this is the difference between kafara and fidya. Zakatul fitr is something else. Zakatul fitr, whether you fast Ramadan or you don't, whether you are a believer or non-believer, Muslim or non-Muslim, adult, young, poor, rich, Not poor, no, sorry. Not poor. The poor, they don't pay. But if you have an average person, then you must pay for yourself and your family on the day of Eid, which is $15 per person. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. Tonight inshallah we're going to continue on the manners of living in a family, in a society. What are these manners? آداب المجتمع. The manners, the etiquettes of living in a community. We started, I think we had 3 sessions so far, and this is the 4th, and tomorrow Wednesday we're going to have the 5th session on these adab and these manners. How do we maintain peace and harmony in the society? Peace and harmony is made by us, the citizens who live in this neighborhood, who live in this city, in this country, in this village. We have to work hard to establish harmony, peace, stability, progress in our communities. This is a collective responsibility. This is not the responsibility of the police department or the mayor. This is the responsibility of every citizen, every family, every individual who live in this city, they should, or other cities, they should work hard to establish this peace and this harmony and this unity and this beauty. So we mentioned some of them earlier. Tonight we're going to go to 3 more injunctions that the Quran advises to practice. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تقتلوا أولادكم خشية إملاق نحن نرزقهم وإياكم إن قتلهم كان خطأ كبيرا ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ومن قتل مظلوما فقد جعلنا لوليه سلطانا فلا يسرف في القتل إنه كان منصورا. These are 3 verses that speak about 3 capital crimes that should be avoided in this society. If you need your society to be healthy, strong, prosperous, united, harmonious, then you have to avoid these capital crimes. These are big crimes, cardinal crimes. One of them is the following: وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ. And slay not your children for the fear of poverty. We shall نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. We surely shall provide for them and for you. There was a pre-Islamic habit and customs in Arabia and elsewhere too, not just in Arabia. They used to kill their children when they were young, especially the infant girls, to avoid shame and to avoid poverty too. They looked at girls, especially girls, as being a burden, because boys, they can send them to the field, they can work, they can carry things, they can do things. But at that time, women did not work. They had to stay at home. So they perceived girls as being a burden on the family, extra expenses on the family. So they wanted to get rid of them, to avoid poverty and to avoid shame too. Shame. So at that time, the boy can do anything he wants to do, and nobody would hold him accountable. But if a girl does something bad, the whole society will hold her accountable, and they would punish her. The boy can get away with his crime, but a female cannot get away. Allah said, don't kill them, neither for the fear of shame, nor for the fear of poverty because it is us. We provide them and you because of them. Have you seen this ayah? نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ. God says we provide them and you, not you and them. What is the difference? God says, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ. We provide them وَإِيَّاكُمْ and you. He didn't say we provide you and them. He should say the parents first, because the parents have the money. So God should say we provide the parents and the children. But he said it the other way around. He said we provide the children and you, the parents. Why did he say this? This is an accident, a mistake? Or it has a reason? What is the reason? Have you thought about it? This is not a mistake. God made it on purpose, for a reason, for an important reason. God wants to say that sometimes we give the parents sustenance to the parents only because of their children, because they have children. Otherwise, the parents, they don't deserve. But we give them because they have a small children. So we give the children because of their parents. So the primary receivers are the children. And parents are receiving from God because they have children. Otherwise, sometimes they don't deserve. So don't kill your children because you don't have money. Because maybe having children will be a source of goodness for you. A source of mercy by God for you. Because you have children. And we have plenty of narrations that God bestow His mercy on a family because they have little children. Because they have an infant who is 5 months old, 10 months old, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years old. God will provide that family with security, with a provision. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ. We are the one who are providers. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. And you, the parents. إِنَّ قَتْلَهُمْ كَانَ خِطْئًا كَبِيرًا. It's a huge sin, huge violation, killing children. And then we come to the second one. Here I remember a story in chapter 18, Surah Al-Kahf. In chapter 18, if you remember, when Moses was walking with Al-Khidr. And then what did Khidr do when he came to a city? As soon as he arrived into a city, he saw, you know, a group of boys playing in the street. So he rushed to one of them and he killed that boy. Boy who's only 10 years old. So Moses, he went crazy, started yelling at him. Why do you kill this boy? He's just 10 years old. Al-Khidr said, I will sa'unabbi'uk. Be patient, I will tell you. This is not my orders, this is God's orders. So after that, he told them the story, that God ordered me to kill this boy because this boy, when he grows, he will become a mass murderer, a criminal in the society. So God wanted to put an end to his life. And then God replaced his parents. This is very interesting. Replaced his parents, فَأَرَدْنَا أَن يُبْدِلَهُمَا. We wanted your Lord to substitute the parents of this boy, which was killed and murdered, أَنْ يُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِنْهُ زَكَاةً وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا. We will substitute this boy with another child, and that child is a female. A female that is خَيْرًا مِنْهُ زَكَاةً. She is going to be more purified than that boy, this girl, who's going to be a substitute, a replacement. More purified, خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ زَكَاتٍ وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا. And she is closer in mercy and compassion to her parents. So sometimes, if you are not happy with your girl, with your daughter, maybe you have to change your mind, because maybe she would be a source of goodness and blessings for your family. And we see this sometimes in the society. We see families who have boys and girls. When it comes to the boys, they have to run after them in the streets. But when it comes to their girls, they are committed to helping their parents. But this is not the case, huh? Don't be happy, the females, huh? This is not the case with all of you. Some of you. Some of you. Inshallah, one day, all of you. One day. Okay? So, sometimes the female has more mercy, more compassion to her family than the boys. And then after that, Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا and approach not adultery. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً verily, it is indecency, فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا and an evil way. When the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, so people came to pay allegiance to him, bay'ah. And some of the women in Medina, when they came to make allegiance, this is mentioned in chapter in Surah Al-Mumtahana. Al-Mumtahana. Ya ayyuhan Nabi, O Prophet, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُؤْبِنَاتُ يُبَايَعْنَكَ. Once the believing women in the community, they come to do bay'ah with you, to pay allegiance to you. عَلَىٰ أَنْ لَا يَشْرِكْ, provided that they make this allegiance, so they adhere to these following points. Number one, عَلَىٰ أَنْ لَا يُشْرِكْ, they don't associate anything with God. لَا يُشْرِكْنَ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. Number two, وَلَا يَسْرِقْنَ, they don't steal. Number three, وَلَا يَزْنِينَ, they don't commit fornication or adultery. Number four, وَلَا يَقْتُلْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ, and they don't kill their children. They have to preserve them, protect them. Your child is a trust from God. Your child is a gift from God. You have to do everything possible to take care of your children. Don't hurt your children. Hurting children, abusing children, whether by the mother or the father or someone else, is considered a capital crime in Islam. Capital crime. Unfortunately, in some traditional societies, abusing children, domestic violence is something normal. The father, you know, assaults his children, and the mother too, not just the children. It's a package, you know, you have to do both of them. Or sometimes the mother, the easiest thing for her is to strike, you know, slap her son, her daughter, pull their hair. Why? Because we need to teach them discipline. You don't teach discipline through physical violence. Nobody can teach discipline to anyone, even to an animal. You don't teach him discipline through abuse, through physical violence. Sometimes in the schools, in some countries, at the schools they used to, you know, ask the old generation in the audience. All of them, alhamdulillah, they received this share, you know. The teacher comes with a stick to the classroom, with a stick. Nowadays he comes with a bottle of coffee, you know, Starbucks coffee. At that time, no Starbucks coffee. At that time, a stick in his hand. And believe me, they used to brag which one has the longer and taller, you know, stick. They used to brag among themselves. This is not good. This is not a good method to teach. You have to win the hearts and the minds of your students. Your students are your children. You have to be merciful to them. You can't teach it through violence. You can't. This is why most people, they did not learn. They left school because of violence. So, وَلَا يَقْتُلْ. So here, Allah says, don't approach adultery. Why? Because it is, number one, indecency. Indecency. When decency is missing from the society would collapse. The moral system of the society is going to collapse. When indecency becomes prevalent in a society. And not only that, وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, it is an evil way. Why it's an evil way? If a man and woman, they, you know, sleep together and they have children, and tomorrow they are separated. When they are not married, they're going to be separated. Believe me. Soon after that, few months, few weeks after that, they're going to be separated. And the mother now, she has the baby. And the baby does not know his father. He sees all people in the community, they have fathers. But he doesn't know his father. He doesn't know. He doesn't know who his father is. He will harbor a grudge in his or her heart, both, whether male or female. And it has a catastrophic results on the society. When some people, they are illegitimate. Sometimes they don't know anything about their parents, both. Neither his mother nor his father. This is a disaster. This is a disaster. They don't feel secure. They don't feel secure. And then they want to take revenge from the whole society. And some of them, not many of them, maybe some of them are going to be decent, but others are going to resort to what? To violence, to crimes. So Allah says, وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. The end result of fornication is a disaster when you have children out of wedlock. And then the third injunction. وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And slay not the soul that God has made inviolable. Inviolable means incapable of being violated. He made it sacred. وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ. الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ. God made it sacred. Don't slay. Don't kill. Sometimes when I watch the news, it's amazing how killing is easy. Anyone who carries a gun, sometimes the police, cops, when someone is running, put, and they shoot him in his head, in his heart. You are taking the life. This life is sacred, even if this guy is bad. But he does not deserve killing. He has a mother, he has children, he has a family waiting for him. You don't want this to happen to you. How do you want it to happen to others? A country that survives on guns and bullets is not a good country. This society should be gun-free. Nobody needs guns. I remember when I went to England, remember, Sapir, 1970, early. You know, cops in the streets, they didn't have guns. Believe me, they did not carry. Do you remember that? Maybe late until 90s or, you know, when there was terrorism and this, then they had to carry guns. Peaceful. You feel peace even when you see a cop who does not have a gun. Because when you have aql, you don't need gun. Why do you need gun? Yes, there are some bad people, but you don't have to deal with them with guns. You don't have to deal with them with guns. Guns are the last resort. But not the first thing, you know. They resort immediately. Take the gun. Boom. He's playing games. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا. Allah says, don't slay. This human soul is sacred. I made it sacred. It has a value. It has to be protected and preserved and saved. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا. Now, Allah says, إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Save by right. What does it mean, save by right? It's a reference to cases where it is a punishment for a capital crime, such as murder. When killing here is only a punishment by the court, of course, by the judiciary system. If it is a punishment for murder, then this is illa bilhaq, save by right. The murderer deserves to be put down. A murderer who violated the sanctity of the whole society and he killed someone innocent, then he deserves that punishment. Only that. Other than that, people should not be killed. Illa bilhaq. Now, Allah says, وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا. See, Quran came to a society where killing was rampant. Nowadays, they have guns. At that time, what did they have? Swords. Everybody has a sword, one or two. And easily they get angry at each other, they start fighting, or sometimes they raid each other's, you know, places. They raid them during the night. They kill women, children, elderly. So killing was rampant. The soil of the Arabian Peninsula was saturated with the blood before Islam. Saturated with the blood. Two tribes, Aus and Khazraj in Medina, they were fighting each other for 100 years. Not 10 years, not 20 years, 100 years. You know why? What ignited this war between them? Read the story. What ignited the war? Because they had horse race, and one of the horses, it's like the Derby of England, you know. At that time, now you can catch with camera, you know, which one won. At that time, there are no cameras, so they were fighting. This group were saying, our horse is the winner. The second group were claiming that our horse. They started fighting from there, and this fight lasted for 100 years. Can you imagine? 100 years? Killing humans because of animals. Until the Prophet came and he invited them for peace. And this is mentioned, chapter 3. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Remember how enemies you were with each other, killing each other? God brought the Prophet to make ta'lif, harmony. Ta'lif means harmony between, connection between your hearts. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ, by the grace of God, with His ni'mah, His blessing, فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Now you are brothers. They became brothers, true brothers, true spiritual brothers, after 100 years of fighting. So Allah says, if someone is killed wrongly and justly, وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا, if a person is murdered and justly, what do we do in this case? You know what they used to do in the past? If someone is killed from this tribe, one person, this tribe will come, who lost their son, they attack the perpetrators, and they kill 10 rather than killing one. So if one is killed from this side, they go and kill 10 out of the other tribe. Allah says, don't do that. Then what do we do? Allah says, you have three things. Here, either you ask for retaliation. So if one person is killed unjustly, then you go after the perpetrator of the crime, not his family, not his brothers, only the killer, the perpetrator. You can ask for retaliation, number one. If you don't want retaliation, and Quran says don't go for retaliation immediately, then ask for retribution. Retribution means fidya. Fidya, they give ransom. Try to forgive and ask for ransom. Okay, fidya. If not, the best way is to pardon. So you have three solutions. Number one is what? Retaliation. Number two is retribution. Number three, to pardon and forgive. And Allah says, if you forgive, you will give a lesson to them. Unless that guy is Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, never forgive him. Or Osama bin Laden. Never forgive Osama bin Laden. It was one of the happiest days in my life when I knew that Osama bin Laden went to Jahannam, alhamdulillah. Because he's a mass murderer. If you leave him at large, he's going to recruit many criminals. And terrorism is going to continue and continue and continue. Those mass murderers, evil murderers, they should not be forgiven. But sometimes someone kills out of ignorance or mistake, or he was intoxicated, not because he had a grudge. In that case, Allah says, try to forgive. وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيهِ سُلْطَانًا فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ. Now, do not, فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ. If someone is killed from your family and you want to retaliate, you can retaliate once. Let him not be excessive in slaying. You don't have the right. And this is to prevent the extended blood feuds, which used to happen between the tribes. One is killed from your tribe, you kill another one. Just one. No more than that. No more than that. And then after that, Allah says, also the murderer, if you capture a murderer, That murderer should not be tortured, should not be maimed, should not be mutilated. That murderer, if you decide to go for retaliation, he should be only killed, but without torture. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, when he was struck during this month, on the 19th of Ramadan, he said to his son, Bunayya Hassan, if I survive, then I know what to do with Ibn Muljam, the murderer. But if I die, then anta waliyul dam wa anta waliyul amr. You are the wali, you have the authority. فَلَكَ أَن تَعْفُوا وَلَكَ أَن تَقْتَصُ. You have two options. You may forgive Ibn Muljam. See, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen is saying to his son, he's giving him a tip. He's telling him, you may forgive him, but if you insist on taking revenge, فَضَرْبَةٌ بِضَرْبَةٌ, one strike, because he struck me once, no more than one. So even if he survives with one strike, let him survive. One ضَرْبَةٌ بِضَرْبَةٌ, one strike in return of one strike. وَلَا يُمَثَّلْ بِالرَّجُلِ, do not mutilate his body, do not torture him. If he dies, don't cut him into pieces as Bani Umayyah used to do with their opponents. Don't do that. Respect the dead. Even if he's a criminal, you don't have the right to cut him into pieces. But look at what they did with the family of the Prophet, with Imam Hussein in Karbala, with his companions, with Ahlul Bayt, how they treated them. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat, wal muslimin wal muslimat, al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات تقبل منا صلاتنا وصيامنا ودعاءنا وطاعتنا في هذا الشهر العظيم واجعلنا من عتقائك من النار وعجل في فرج إمامنا وسيدنا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.